Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat. Today is Friday, August 28th. Bitcoin is at $11,516 and ETH is at $396. As always, thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a DeFi investment and digital asset management platform that does allocation monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right. So the theme for today is mass adoption of DeFi and crypto. And so our first topic is an article that was written by Tyler Winklevoss, so one of the Winklevoss twins, where he predicted and made a case for Bitcoin hitting 500K.
I am so happy I get to talk about $500,000 Bitcoin price predictions. I love crazy Bitcoin price predictions. It's probably been one of the best things since I got into Bitcoin however many years ago. There is nothing on a day-to-day basis that makes me happier than a good, down-home, honest Bitcoin, like exaggerated Bitcoin price prediction. It all started with John McAfee, of course, and his famous price prediction of 250K. This is the argument here has not changed. They added a few different wrinkles to it, but the fundamental argument has not changed for the last literally 11 years at this point since Satoshi wrote the white paper. There is a disconnect with how people and I'd say different political persuasions, but how people think about the role of the Federal Reserve with what the role of the Federal Reserve has had. And then there's a disconnect between different schools of classical economics. And so people who tend to be of the school that the government should not be printing a lot of money look at what's happening today with the government printing a lot of money and get very nervous. The reason that I love a good price prediction is that it's been happening since the early days of Bitcoin, and it almost always comes down to the same thing that they brought up, which is that you print $3 trillion, you are putting a massive, massive inflationary force on the US dollar. And then anything that is not tied to the dollar that looks more deflationary should benefit from that in terms of its buying power. So that goes for gold, that goes for oil, that goes for US stocks, and then of course that goes for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. That's also why it's so important to think of Bitcoin as a deflationary currency. It's, if Bitcoin was a heavily inflationary currency, it would lose some of this benefit of being deflating versus the US dollar printing. Now, what's changed fundamentally, or what is the giant ambiguous, elephant in the room for people that like to make these types of predictions, is that we might be printing an enormous amount of money, but we are not seeing, we being the US, are not seeing inflation numbers like we keep expecting. So inflation is stubbornly stuck between 1% and 2%. Every now and again, it kind of gets closer to a little bit over 2%, but you're not seeing the 70s, 17% inflation. And so to that extent, no one quite knows. Like, there's a lot of different theories about why that is, but no one with any certainty can tell you why the printing of money and the massive spending of money by the US government, the Federal Reserve, has not led to the levels of inflation that people are expecting. All that being said, more and more people are nervous. I mean, we saw this last week. I mean, this is, you look at the two companies last week, MicroStrategy and Snappa, that moved over a bunch of their currency reserves to Bitcoin. They're doing it because they're nervous about the U.S. They're nervous about U.S. currency, and with very, very good reason. I think everyone is a little bit nervous about how much money is getting printed. So there's obviously a lot here. The Winklevoss twins argument around this came down to a few different issues that they had with various normal inflationary normal hedges against inflation. So gold is very, very good, but you can't send it around the world instantaneously. Oil's great, but wow, oil's been having its own set of issues. And you look at the price wars between Saudi Arabia and Russia, and that obviously is going to spook everyone. Plus, America can just make really, really cheap oil now. So that's sort of changed the dynamic of oil as a inflationary hedge. So, I love it. 500K. Absolutely. Let's do it. Let's make this happen tomorrow. Like most things, it's probably not anytime soon, but, this is great. I love a good price prediction.
All right. Well, that's good. Okay. Next, Forbes ran an article today reporting that yesterday Fidelity had filed paperwork with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to create a new fund dedicated entirely to Bitcoin, which reportedly will require a minimum investment of 100K. So Pat, talk to us about this.
Yeah, this is, you know, this follows along with JP Morgan doing a big investment in Consensus. All these guys are just a little bit nervous that the world is going to catch up with them. You know, one of the big pieces of DeFi, the reason DeFi has taken the world by storm in some ways, or at least is kind of poised to take the world by storm, is that no one really likes bankers maybe bankers and their mothers, but I'm not sure anyone else really, really likes bankers all that much, especially institutional bankers. And so if you're an institutional banker and you're looking at this world where suddenly I don't need to go to you for paper markets, I don't need to go to you for collateralized debt obligations, I don't need to go to you for complex security swaps and things that you would traditionally have to go to an investment banker for, suddenly all of that is accessible through a web browser and a click from my computer. I am really scared about that. And now it's not going to change overnight, but this is obviously kind of one step towards that, which is how do you start to dabble in Bitcoin without actually diving headfirst into cryptocurrencies? There are a lot of funds that smell like this. I mean, everyone's been waiting for a good ETF to come out for Bitcoin so people can start putting money into it from their IRAs. That still hasn't happened. This type of thing, which is doing accredited investor, checking and all that, you know, people with $100,000 could just go buy a Bitcoin. Like, they're probably pretty sophisticated investors at that point. So I don't know if this is going to really be an enormous shake to the industry, but it is good to see. I think of this as bullish for the industry only because it's a major player dipping their toes in the pool.
Well, it's funny you said that only bankers and their mothers like bankers, because Bloomberg ran a story yesterday that was called Why DeFi Utopia Would Be a Finance World Without Financiers. And basically it's just about how DeFi can eliminate bankers.
Yeah. Go read it. It's a great article. I mean, that's why we're all here. We talked about it yesterday. You know, this example of, well, I want to go get a really simple loan. Why do I have to do a credit check? If I'm going to collateralize it, why do I have to do a credit check, do all this different stuff just to get a couple $1,000? Then in that case, I can't even collateralize it with things that I would want to. And there's no marketplace for it. And you're having to go in person to a bank. I mean, it's just a mess. And that doesn't even count. You know, this article was more about Africa and actually how, you know, I take for granted that I could go into a bank and get a loan if I had to. But we're talking about people that their only connection with the financial world is going to be a cellular phone. I mean, there are parts of Africa where people literally use cell phone credits as digital currency because it is the easiest, safest way to move currency around. So they're actually transferring cell phone minutes back and forth. And this has been around for a long time. You know, a world where we start to introduce them to savings rates and micro loans and all of these different things, this is really important. Now, one thing to note here, though, for what it's worth, we have a long ways to go to this. Like, I love what Bloomberg's saying here. It's a great utopia we're all looking for. But at the end of the day, right now, gas is so expensive on Ethereum that the gas fee for even a simple collateralized loan is going to be more than the monthly income for most of the people in the world. So we obviously have other structural issues here to deal with, but hopefully with Ethereum 2.0 and the different things coming down the line, that'll get solved. But it is very exciting.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, I want to squeeze in one more news item. Av was granted an electronic money institution license by the UK Financial Conduct Authority, and LEND token prices rallied more than 40% on this news. And that was maybe a day or two ago, and they're still up. Currently, Av is at 79 cents.
Yeah. Everyone loves regulation.
Well, yeah, that they got an official stamp of approval. All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. I hope everyone has a great weekend. You can check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily or online at thedefidaily.com. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.